Back to Their Soulmates, a Ted Lasso podcast. My name is Tori.
And I'm Kevin.
We're your after show where we dig into the characters of Ted Lasso and Rebecca Welton, how they are connected, and why they are soulmates.
That's right.
It was a big week for the Lasso cast. Did you see they went to the White House?
Yeah, they went to the White House. Yeah, and last week was the Today Show because that was the premiere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting my weeks confused because everything is just going by so fast.
They have to be so confused because they, well, for the people who came from the UK,
well, even to Ted, LA, or no, Ted's probably been back in LA for a while, right?
Yeah, okay. LA and then New York and then Washington.
Wow. Don't know what time of day it is.
Don't know what day of the week it is, what time. Know. Yeah, so they were in Washington. Like, it was just bizarre to see the press room with a man who looks a lot like Ted.
Right.
Standing up there talking with people who look a lot like Rebecca, Sam, Roy, and Higgins, I think was up a couple, someone else, I can't remember. But they went there to talk about mental health in this country, which is great.
Yeah, it is, because we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, no, I don't
know. To put it bluntly.
I recently tried to get a therapist, just like a family one.
Right.
And they were like, we'll have to call you back in December. They never called back.
Yeah.
Like, they're way backed up. And then most don't take insurance. And, like, people may not be able to afford to pay completely out of pocket.
Right.
And I just don't see how things are going to get better if we keep ignoring this. Like, especially with COVID, a lot of people could use some support.
And oh, yeah.
The other problem is there's just a shortage of psychologists at this point, which is like, I'm surprised they're not like giving away incentives for kids to go into that field in college and stuff right now, but it may go in that direction. But it was really nice to see this show, which has tried to have such a positive, like an open conversation about mental health, doing something in Washington that could make real change. So it was pretty cool. The name of this episode is I Don't Want to Go to Chelsea. It aired on March 22nd, 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm just going to keep the date in because we did it with the first two seasons. And in case someone finds this show on Netflix in like 5 years and then decides to come listen.
They're like, when did this air?
but technically, the episodes are coming out the day before.
Right.
So it was really March 21st. But I guess for IMDb and whatever.
All right. You better keep it.
Yeah, we'll just keep it the 22nd. But it's been a treat.
It has. The 9 o'clock. Very nice. Great. The interesting thing about this episode is the title. Again, last week we had Smells Like Mean Spirit, which was a play on words from the Nirvana song Smells Like Teen Spirit. And then this week is I Don't Want to Go to Chelsea. And ever since I've been looking at that title, I'm like, where do I know that from? And I finally Googled it because I have the internet.
Right, yeah.
Instead of sitting there and wondering.
I just want everyone to know, he did it just now, not like yesterday or anything.
It's just because it has been bothering me. And I'm like, you know what? I'm checking. So it's an Elvis Costello song, I Don't Want to Go to Chelsea. And it's literally, the title looks just like that. In parentheses, the I Don't Want to Go to, and then Chelsea. So. If for any Elvis Costello fans, you're probably like, duh. And for people who aren't, they're probably like, oh, cool. And if I remember correctly, it's a good song.
In my head, every time I see that, I just picture a child like, I don't want to go.
What I actually thought Chelsea. It was a play on, which is why I looked it up, is I Don't Want to, Don't Go Back to Rockville, which is a song by R.E.M.
Oh.
And the Don't Go Back to is in parentheses, I believe. Mm. So that's another reason I looked it up. I'm like, I got to know.
Maybe later on this season we'll have a Don't Go Back to West Ham.
Now everybody's Googling 451, which is next week's episode.
Yeah. I'm guessing that's a play.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll
like
see.
442, but maybe not. All right. So the summary of this episode, Trent Crim is back.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. With hair and all.
Yeah, little white Converse sneakers is hanging out at AFC in Richmond. He's there to write a book about Ted Lasso and the team. But that is only if Roy doesn't kill him first.
Mm-hmm.
And Rebecca goes a little lead tasso to get something that she wants.
She does.
The first time we see Ted and Rebecca in this episode is Ted coming in for biscuits with the boss. But Rebecca's not there alone. She's got Higgins, Keely, and Mr. Trent Krim, independent with his cool hair and little white Converse.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, Trent. And then he tells him, they've got a Ziploc of your hair ties.
Down on the
down
lost,
on lost and found. Yeah. In case you want to, you want to go down there. But Rebecca lets Ted know that Trent is there because he would like to write a book about AFC Richmond. And they're all for it. But they just want him to sign off before they do the go-ahead. So Trent turns to look at Ted, and the three of them are all doing no.
Right.
No. Cuts across the neck, shaking the head. Like, it's surprising that Ted didn't turn back around in this very large pause. So Ted's all, sure. And he says yes, which is exactly what they didn't want him to do.
I know.
So then they're like, okay, great. Well, wonderful. Welcome, Trent. Welcome, Trent. So right around this time, Higgins gets a notification on his phone that a man named Zaba is leaving Juventus, I believe
is
how you say
it. Yeah, I think that's what it was.
And Ted doesn't know who Zaba is or where he's leaving. So he thinks it's his wife, makes a joke about what about their kids. And they're like, no. He is a football player, and he is leaving Italy because his wife binged the office and now wants to live in England. And he says, I think you mean Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Which was funny.
Ted. And they're like, no, Rebecca says, no, the UK office. This is making me want to go back and watch the UK office because our kids are obsessed with the US office right now.
Yeah, I wonder what they would think.
I wonder, too, because it is a much different feel, but fabulous in a different way. So they're discussing Zaba because apparently he's also a bit of a diva, which we will see more of. And so Rebecca's like, he's huge, but do we really want to deal with this? And she's like, who would want to deal with that? And Higgins is like, well, a lot. He starts rattling off the names of teams that want him. And the last one is...
Yeah.
West Ham. Oh, I like when Keely says he goes through teams faster than you go through manicurists.
I know.
And then Rebecca's like, the fumes make me dizzy and I overshare.
I know, so that just tells you that the manicurists are like, you shouldn't come back.
Right. Like, does she get embarrassed and then she doesn't want to go see them again because she
or do they
them,
just tell her not to return?
She's telling them all about her Luca escapades or something and they're scandalized. So once she hears that West Ham wants him, she's like, why don't we go for it? I think that's
right,
a
without
great
missing a beat,
idea. Yeah.
She says it.
No. So they decide that they're going to go after Zaba. And after Ted gets up to leave and everybody, Keely and Higgins all go to leave, and Trent looks at Rebecca and says, so you're going to tell me that you're going to get this guy who's a diva and you actually can't even afford him because Rupert wants him.
Right.
He now runs West Ham. And now it's the other turn. So Ted, Keely, and Higgins are shaking their head. No, 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 no. And she just looks him straight in the eye and says, yes. But I
like
it.
And the funny thing is about that scene is if you notice... Ted's in the middle and the other two are on the ends. And Ted's doing the same thing Rebecca was doing with the, across the neck. And the other ones were just saying no. And that's exactly the way they were doing it. Rebecca was doing the across the neck. And it's funny. They are doing the same thing. It's like mirroring exactly what they were doing on the other side. It's kind of funny.
Because they're soulmates. And at the beginning of this, which I forgot to mention, when he says the Ziploc hair tie thing, he tells Trent, why don't you pop down there?
Yeah.
Which is a Rebecca kind of British phrase.
Oh.
And then Rebecca says, Zabba-dabba-doo.
Which is a very Ted thing to say.
Yes. Do you think season one Rebecca, like I was trying to think, like season one Rebecca, except for her complete almost meltdown when she was going to try to tell, she was going to try to apologize to Ted the first time, where she was acting all like, do you have addiction, Ray? acting right. all squirrely.
Right.
Other than that, like, I don't think she'd pull out a Zabba Dabba Doo.
No.
Until now.
That is such a Ted thing.
So on the way out, Ted is super excited to see that Keely's there because she's no longer working there and usually isn't around in the afternoons. And he asks her, you know, how are things going with the new place? And she's like, it's really good. It's really good. I'm having a little bit of trouble, you know, connecting with my coworkers. These coworkers, so we saw them in the very beginning of the episode, a little bit last week too. Like, they almost look like workers from the UK office.
Yeah, like, well, I don't know what's going on with them. There's no personality.
They're very dry, yeah. And so Keely just comes floating in like the little bubble of happiness that she is, and they all kind of tinkle on her toenails, as Ted
tinkle
would say.
Tinkle on her toenails.
So he tells her, you know, maybe you should just try to do some kind of activity with them, a team building. She decides that they should do drugs, but Ted's like,
I know, like, that's a little...
Maybe not. But we'll see later in the episode that she does take Ted's advice. When Coach Beard gets to the office, Ted is sitting down there reading Inverting the Pyramid of Success.
Well, allegedly.
Yeah. Flipping through. He's like just flipping through the first few pages. And I love when Beard walks in. You can hear, there's always those little conversations that are like at the tail end of something else. Mm-hmm. Like, last time, a couple of seasons ago with Nate, it was something about they just stopped making rigatoni. Like, just like little things that don't make any sense in any context, but you're walking in on a conversation. And Beard is coming in saying, well, you do sleepwalk. I don't know what to tell you.
I know.
So you know he's talking to Jane.
Right.
Oh, goodness. Jane.
What a mess.
Man, this is a giant mess. So he says, oh, well, how's the book going so far? And you can tell that Beard's like flagged pages. He's studied this book. And Ted's like, well.
Oh, yeah, it has all those little tabs in them. And the different colors are color-coded.
Yeah, like he's in college taking a class on this book. And he says, well, as much trouble as I'm having with the table of contents, I think I should just wait for the movie to come out. So then he says, what do you think if we were to get Zabba? And Coach Beard does his first little,
yeah, the scream
of the episode. And Ted recognizes that as a good sign. And he's like, okay, great. Now, who is Zabba? Seriously? Don't you think Ted would have some inkling as to who Zabba is at
this point? Well, yes and no. No, I mean, he should know. Because now he wants to join the Premier League, and Zabba was not playing in the Premier League. So maybe only Ted studies teams that are, you know, in the Premier League.
But wouldn't...
No, he wants to come to the Premier League, which is...
Well, I think he just wants to leave Italy and come to the UK.
And the Premier League is only in England.
Oh.
So that's the whole reference of the wife watch The Office.
Okay.
And now wants to come. So that's why all these teams obviously are trying to get him, because they just want to be in England. So okay. And now he's leaving.
Yeah,
I don't even know whatever league he would be in. I don't know that.
It says,
but I do know the Premier
on.
League is in England.
Yeah, we're good. So Beard tells Ted, you do know Zabba, and he brings him over to show him a viral video of a grocery store. I guess it wouldn't have been a Tesco, but a grocery store where some guy comes in to try to rob it, and he walks up, headbutts the person, and then leaves.
And I guess steps over him and is eating something.
Yeah, he's eating a veggie dog, I guess, because he's the veggie dog vigilante.
Vigilante, that's right.
So I guess this video went viral. So Ted does know that. So he's like, wait a minute. So he tells him that's Zabba.
And so what we've learned here is that Ted studies viral videos more than he studies who soccer players are.
Exactly.
Or, footballers.
I have a question about the viral video before we get there.
Okay.
Get to the next part. Do you think that is showing that Zabba does have a good side to him? Or is it just him showing off because he headbutted the guy?
I think it's a little bit of both. Well, I mean, I think it's just like, hey, I'm trying to buy my stuff and get out of here and go home and eat. So get the hell out of my way. So he headbutted him and then he walks away.
Yeah. So I wasn't sure if he was trying to save the grocery store or if he was just annoyed that this man
was probably both.
Bothering him. Yeah.
He just did it, you know, like, hey.
But like, because you know that Ted's going to get to Zabba. Like, I can't even picture, at this point, I cannot picture Ted and Zabba in the same room together.
I know.
Because even trying to picture him with Rebecca was bizarre. Seeing him with Rebecca was bizarre.
I know. I bet you, I wonder if a lot of people don't like this move in the show.
I know.
I mean it's going to be make for good television. I'm just saying though, it feels like it's going to be a shit storm. You know what I mean?
I mean,
which will be good.
Definitely open to seeing what happens, but
I wonder, it
is an interesting personality to throw in here.
Yeah.
So when they come out, they hear rumbling going on in the locker room. They come out and everyone's all upset. And Ted's like, oh no, is this because you heard about us maybe getting Zava?
No, it is us getting Zava.
Oh, he doesn't even say Zava. Maybe. And then they're all, we're getting Zava. And they're excited about that. So that's not what it is. And Danny says, I wished for that 30 seconds ago.
Which it took me the second time to watch this episode to get that joke.
Well, here's the even better part. So in the episode, Ted says that 11:11 is his wishing time. Right. When they're in the office, it's 11:11, he makes a wish. Someone on Twitter started a timer from when Ted's watch dings. And when Danny says, I wish for that 30 seconds ago,
it was 30 seconds have passed. Amazing. That's great.
It is. It's so good. So then they're like, okay, wait, hold on a second. We're getting Zava. And he's like, no. You know, if you weren't talking about Zava, are you guys talking about Trent Crim? And now they're like, wait, what? And they say that Trent Crim's writing a book. And they say, about Zava? This turns into a whole who's right, on about, first.
Right. Zava joining the team?
Yeah.
And then it ends with Trent Crim. Why is Zava writing a book about Trent Crim?
Yeah. He's like, no, Trent Crim. And then, so they're yelling. So he's like, no, we're not talking about Zava. We're not talking about Trent Crim. We're talking about the fact that Roy and Keeley have broken up. And we get another from Beard.
I know.
And then Ted loses consciousness for a second until Will comes at him with a bottle of water and they lift him back up. I love that Will is always holding water bottles. Have you noticed that? The actor, he tries to hand him one here. Oh. And there was like another scene where they were on the pitch.
Oh, he is always.
Yeah, and he's in the background, like balancing them, holding them upside down.
I know. I remember that from last episode.
So Roy comes in and everybody looks at him and they go, oh. So now he knows what they're talking about. And he's ready to kill Jamie because at this point, he thinks Jamie's the only one who knows because Jamie confronted him in the boot room about it.
Right.
But Jamie's like, no, you know, when I walked in here, they were talking about Zava. Now we go back to this again. We're getting Zava? And he's like, Ted says, you know, do you want to talk about it? And he says, no, I don't want to talk about Keeley. And Ted says, no, I meant Zava. Sure, he's nuts, but it'll help us win games. Oh, I messed up a part. He says, do you want to talk about it? And then he says, sure, he's nuts, but it'll help us win games. And he says, no, now I was talking about Roy and Keeley.
I know.
This whole is just dizzying. Like, I love how people on television, it's great characters, but if you really had to deal with people like this in your everyday life, you would lose your mind.
This whole scene was hilarious. It is. Had me laughing. It's great. And so, just that and then the CD.
Yes.
When he asks...
He tells Will to go to his house. Here's my keys. Go to my house, open my desk, and get my breakup CD, Ted's breakup CD, which I should have known that was going to immediately go on Apple playlists. I didn't check till the next day.
It's there. And then Will's like, what's a CD? Yeah. She doesn't know. And then Beard's like, I'm on it. And Beard goes to leave. Ted throws his keys. Beard doesn't turn to catch him.
Because he says he already has some.
I know. It's just so funny. The whole scene is just hilarious.
How long do you think Ted's keys sat on the floor there?
I don't know.
So Roy's like, I don't need a breakup CD because she didn't dump me. I broke up with her. And then Beard comes back into the locker room from leaving to then...
Yeah, no, he didn't get very far, I guess.
No. And he's screaming again. So right then, Trent Crim walks in. More chaos. And so now Roy's like, what the fuck is this guy doing here? And now they say that he is writing a book about Richmond. And Roy's like, if anyone here talks to him, you're getting my forehead through your skull. So we kind of knew already from the episode Trent Crim, The Independent, which I think is like the third episode of the first season, when he's with Roy and Ted at the school, Roy says, you're a colossal prick and you always have been. So we know that he doesn't like Trent, but we don't really know why other than he's just a journalist and that Roy doesn't like most people.
Right. So, right. So you wouldn't have read anything into that then. Just because.
Oh, right. Roy's just you just figure it's Roy being Roy.
Yeah.
Now, in Rebecca's office, her mom calls.
So ridiculous.
I know, it's great. So it's a FaceTime call. And for some reason, Deborah, when AV watched this with me yesterday, she was like, why does she have her face so close to the camera? But it's because we're lucky. She's a mom. We're lucky you can even see her entire face in there. She's doing a good job. So she's like, oh, thank goodness. I dreamt last night that you had been murdered. And Rebecca's like, oh, okay. No, I'm still here. Meanwhile, Rebecca looks more gorgeous than anyone deserves to on FaceTime. And AV also pointed that out. It's like an angle up. Like if you took that angle from a normal person, all you would see is chins.
I know.
And she's just glowing. The lighting's perfect.
Well, of course.
She was blessed. So she's like, what are you doing, Mom? You're in a hotel and you're supposed to be on a camping retreat. She's like, oh, well, I'm not going to actually sleep outside. So I guess she's doing the daytime activities.
Right. And then she's doing the camping retreat without the camping.
Yeah. So then Deborah tells her, I have exciting news. I talked to Tish, who we know is her psychic, and she has agreed to consider speaking with you.
Right.
And then I feel like Rebecca here giving this line is so sassy because she says, oh, your psychic has agreed to let me pay her a lot of money to talk to me.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Amazing.
It's delivered a very sassy way. And she's like, no, she's just considering it.
Right.
And she's like, but I hope she does because you need maternal guidance.
Of course. Of course. Always coming from the mom.
You're supposed to be the maternal guide. Then she's like, I got to go because there are people outside getting ready to do scream therapy. So I should really hold on to my voice until then. And then she acts like she's all like annoyed that Rebecca called her.
Right.
And Rebecca's like, you called me.
I know.
And hangs up. Now we get a classic kind of Higgins and Rebecca scene when he comes in because she's yelling at him a lot more in this episode. And she had told Higgins, go find out if Zava will talk to us. He comes back and says, I got bad news. He will not talk to us. But I have good news. He's going to go with Chelsea. And she's like, why is that good news? And he says, because at least he's not going with West Ham. He even straight out said he will not sign with West Ham.
Mm.
So Rebecca says, okay, well, you jinxed it. Because once Rupert thinks he can't have something, it makes him want it even more.
Yep.
The day of the Chelsea match, Rebecca's there with Keely. Higgins is there. And it's so cute because she's just kind of catching up with Keely because they haven't seen each other in a while. And she's asking her, like, how's it going with your friend working? Because earlier in the episode, Keely hired somebody that she used to know, Shandy Fine, to come work for her company to try to liven things up. But it's also, I think, she's giving back. Because that's what Rebecca did for her. So it's really sweet how, like, she's kind of incorporating ways that Ted came into her life on her next venture and also ways Rebecca did. Because she goes into Barbara's office, the lady that she's having a lot of trouble with at the office, and says, you know, you can't be mean to people. And she's trying to make an effort to, like, get to know her. She sees that she collects snow globes and she starts chatting with her, you know, which is
almost, but almost kind of like a Ted thing, too.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, she's kind of taking, you know, we don't know anything about Keely before this point.
Yeah.
But I do think that Keely has kind of learned a bit from Ted as far as, like, showing a true interest in people around you. But Keely has always been a sweet, adorable person anyway.
Right.
But then the addition of her, like, bringing Shandy, like, she saw something in Shandy. And Shandy may not have experience and may not have the education. But
she's got the, you know, seems like she's got some knowledge and the quick wit and the quick decision making that she showed on the set.
She had great ideas on the set.
Right.
And she just saw something in her that maybe she would be willing to give her a chance. And she says that to Barbara too, because Barbara doesn't want to hire her at first. And she's like, you know, it feels really good to give someone a chance and it would be great for us to do that together with her. So I think it's cute how she's kind of, I mean, hopefully this is not going to backfire on her because Shandy does suggest that they bring mimosas to work.
I know. And what I love about that is, the text says, I have an idea. Let's bring mimosas to work and put it on the company card. And that was after the...
Barb told her not to.
Barb said, here's your company credit card. Don't use it.
Don't use it.
And then when she reads that, she says to Rebecca, she's full of great ideas.
So,
not, and with Rebecca not knowing what that text said. It was just funny.
Yes. So Higgins comes over, sits down, and he's like, okay, I've got it on pretty good authority that Zaba is going with Chelsea. All right, I'm going to butcher this, but it's something like his...
Yeah.
Somebody knows, works as a on a private jet, and so...
Right.
But she wasn't working that day, but she saw Zaba, and he said Chelsea several times.
Well, there's a lip reader involved in there, too.
Yes. Right. She knows how to read lips, and so she said Zaba said Chelsea a few times. And she's also a massage therapist that also works on private jets.
But the great thing is what Keely got out of that is, God, I wish I could read lips. That made me laugh. Like, she didn't even care about what he said.
And what Rebecca got out of that is, why did I hire him when I took this company over from Rupert?
I don't know.
I love how they, like, they're picking at each other this year more, but, like, in a playful way. Like, she is irritated with him, but because he is doing buffoonish things.
Yeah, but so he's trying.
She's like, okay, well, that's not helping at all. And he's like, oh, well, at least we just know that Rupert's not getting him. And she's like, well, you jinxed it again.
Yeah.
He says, Rupert's not even here. So now she's really irritated. This is the first time Roy has been back to Chelsea Stadium. If first ever since he left or just
since
in a while,
retired.
I'm not sure.
I think it's since he retired.
Oh, okay. And so people in the audience are really excited to see him. You can see that they have a banner up that says they don't make him like Roy anymore.
Yeah, that was nice.
And so he gets up and he's addressing the crowd and just kind of, you know, waving and stuff. And they show Keely looking at him. And then Rebecca just like sweetly kind of takes her hand because she knows that she's probably about to tear up and is feeling a lot of emotion seeing Roy there. And so it's just so cute, their little, how their friendship has blossomed. And you totally buy, too, that these two women, the actresses, are good friends in real life. But you know how sometimes you'll see people playing friends or playing family and it doesn't feel natural?
Right.
It does feel really natural with them. Then the crowd starts cheering more, but this time they're not cheering for Roy. They're cheering because Zaba has shown up. So he's just in the stands, and I'm going to let you take this one with Danny says, because...
Yeah, well, it's he makes the reference to, he haven't been this nervous to play in front of someone, meaning play in front of Zaba, hasn't been this nervous since he played in El Chapo's youth league.
Yes.
And which is like, why did El Chapo have a youth league? I should look it up and see if he really did. Who knows?
I hope he didn't.
Because there's always... Well, there's always something, you know, you got to launder the money into, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, that's
maybe
a good
that
point.
Was one of them, was the youth league. I don't have any idea. Maybe he loves soccer. I don't know much about El Chapo. But I always thought that was hilarious. Like, how did Danny find himself playing in El Chapo's youth league? That's so funny.
So up in the stands, Higgins is now taking pictures of Zaba sitting in the stands. And
like, a dork.
Yes. Will you pull yourself together? She's so just ready to like kick him in the butt if she can. So they have a rough first half, which goes by so fast.
I know.
Like,
well, what are you
going to
do?
I know.
Plus these shots are probably so hard to do anyway with the crowd. And
yeah. I know that they struggle a lot with trying to be able to shoot the football scenes also, so I can see why they're brief. And as they're wrapping up the first half, Higgins notices that Rupert is back there.
Higgins does his classic gagging. And then Rebecca's like, now what?
Yeah. So she says, will you please go see if you can find out some more information from your vast network of massage therapists? But she says, massage
therapist.
Everything sounds better coming out of her mouth.
I know.
So Higgins goes off to do what he's supposed to do. And Rebecca's like, Rupert's going to get him. And Keely says, you don't know that. And then Rebecca tells a very telling story to Keely. So she says, years ago when she was bartending at a private club, Rupert came in with his wife. He was married at the time. And she said he was charming. I can picture the Rupert that we saw at the gala. Like,
right. Like really, you know, wooing the crowd.
Yeah. Work in the room.
Yep.
Everybody loves him. And she said, then a week later, he came back without his wife and he asked me out. And she said no. And Keely's like, what a dick.
I know.
And then Rebecca says, but for the next 6 weeks, he would just come back and he would sit there and he would talk to me until we closed every night. So she said, by the time, you know, 6 weeks had gone by, he asked me again if I would go out with him. And I said, yes.
Yep.
And she said it was because he made her feel special and he made her feel, you know, like she really was the one for him and she was chosen.
Right.
So she says, he made me feel like that. And she points to what Rupert is now doing to Zava.
Right. And he looks all like relaxed and chill and Zava's laughing.
Yeah. And it just makes me think like Bex. I feel like Bex didn't put up very much of a fight. I feel like Rupert got her easily.
Yeah, probably.
And so he probably doesn't even want her that much more. Like everything he's doing is to get back at Rebecca.
Right.
And he had a child with her. So he was willing to bring a kid into the world just to piss off Rebecca.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't like Rupert, but he is in a much worse position than Rebecca is as far as the healing process goes. So, but she just says, you know, that's how he does it. He gets what he wants because he will make you feel like you're the most special thing.
And what's really nice is the way that scene ends. After she says all that, you can tell she was telling a very emotional kind of story or, you know, like a flashback. And then Keely grabs her hand.
Yeah, that's cute. She took her hand and then she took her hand. Now, I know we don't need this part, but I just want to talk about the Hallmark movie because it was so funny.
I was.
So he's telling, Ted's in the locker room telling them that they're as sad as, oh wait, we're as unoffensive as a Hallmark Christmas movie. But what's her name? The one who was on Full House and her brother's very religious, Kirk Cameron's sister, Candace Cameron.
Yeah. Bure.
Didn't she say that Hallmark was offensive because they started having...
Because they started having...
Interracial couples.
Not even interracial. They get like, I think two men. There was one with two men. Yeah. So she left and now went to... there was a new network started.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called.
But religious one? I don't really know. But I know she left because of that. But then her network is going to have more traditional marriages because two men got married on Hallmark. So then everybody attacked her and she's like, well, that's not what I meant. I'm like, oh, all right.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. Whatever.
But I like that. I've actually never seen a Hallmark Christmas movie, but I think I would if I knew that they were more progressive than I imagined that they were. So.
Right.
So Ted goes on to say, when he's talking to Roy afterwards, because Roy still doesn't want Trent Crim around, and he's like, you got to pull this together because you're not helping anyone. And then Roy says, what the fuck are Hallmark Christmas movies? And Ted says, Hallmark Christmas movies are movies that feature women who usually want to leave the big city and then fall in love with their childhood crushes.
Yeah, something along those lines.
And he's like, usually the fellow owns a Christmas tree farm. And then he's like, sometimes he's also Santa Claus or a prince. Oh my gosh. And it's so true because even though I've never seen one, my aunt loves them and my uncle has a very similar description of them.
Right. There.
Or she owns a bookstore.
Or that's something they want to, they want to tear down some small business that the guy owns and she wants to build a big store or something. I don't know.
And he says, you know, they're pretty awful, but they're also great. But they're also really awful. Mm-hmm. Well, they're good with the sound off.
What does that mean?
Just like the aesthetic of the Christmas movie. But at the end of that conversation, Roy will now let Trent Crim talk to everyone. So they're very excited about that. And we find out why Roy was so upset, which is basically that when he started, he was 17 years old and he played his first match. Trent was also a younger journalist and Trent wrote a very harsh review of him.
Yes.
And Roy's been carrying that around in his wallet ever since then. So he just basically tells him, like, this wrecked me. And Trent says, I'm sorry. I didn't really mean to do it to hurt you. I was just trying to be edgy.
Yeah. Young and edgy reporter.
But I think it's just a nice portrayal of how words hurt. And I'm sure that there's no coincidence that Jason Sudeikis has also had quite a bit of press over the last
right.
year. And so I think it's just like letting people know, which we already know, but journalists sometimes, especially British tabloids and stuff, don't always care about people's feelings. Most big businesses don't care about people's feelings. So even though Trent wasn't really trying to be a dick, he never realized what effect he probably had on Roy.
Right.
So it was nice for Roy to be able to say that to him. And like, that's the thing with Roy. Like, he just needs to headbutt Trent Crim now, and then they'll get along great. Just right, like he did exactly. with Jamie after the one match. When Higgins gets back with intel from his network of massage therapists, he tells Rebecca, yeah, he's most likely going with West Ham now. And she watches Rupert kind of smile with them and like give him a handshake and walk off. And she's like, you know what? If Rupert can sweet talk Saba, so can I. So she gets up and she decides that she's not going to just sit there and let this happen. She's at least going to give it a shot. So she goes down. She tries to get into a room to see Saba. And there's a man standing outside who says, no one sees Saba.
Right. Even she's though like, Rupert was just in there.
Yeah. She's like, I just saw Mr. Mannion. Now, is Saba going to have these guys come to work with him? Like, is this his entourage that's always around? Because again, this is going to be a very interesting storyline.
Yeah, I don't know.
As Rebecca's talking to his bodyguard, Rupert comes over and you can just see the look on her face as soon as she hears his voice. So he comes up and then Saba comes out and says, Rupert introduces Rebecca right. as his ex-wife.
Right.
Just like knocking her down by saying, this is my ex-wife, Rebecca Welton. So we get the impression that he and Saba have kind of like sealed this deal. They do a little fist bump. He says, I can't wait to work with you or see you again. And then he walks off. So Rebecca's trying to play it cool still. And she says, he's going to look great in claret and blue.
Mm-hmm.
But then she says, you know, I am a little bit surprised though that you went to West Ham because I thought that Richmond was your one true love. And then Rupert says, I guess I'm just like any man. I get bored with the same old, same old.
Oh, God. He's
he's such a dick.
He really is.
I wish him years of impotence starting now. It's they were talking about in an interview recently, they were talking about, oh, I think it was the Variety panel. They were talking about Nick Muhammad and Anthony Head and how like, they're just the sweetest, most silly, like, lovable guys playing these horrible characters.
Yeah, they're playing dicks.
Yeah. I would love to see. I never watched Buffy, but I would like to see Anthony Head in something where he's not playing Rupert. So he walks off, and again, you can just kind of see that Rebecca's a little knocked down from his response, but that's going to motivate her. Oh, yeah. Rebecca and Saba are motivated by the same thing. So now, I just realized it. So she decides she's still going after Saba. So she follows him to where he had gone to the bathroom. Now, if you take the entire conversation she has with Rupert and her getting to Saba, this man has been peeing for a long time. He has an intense bladder. So he is standing at a urinal when she just walks up to him and starts yelling in his face. And she tells him that he's a chicken shit.
Right.
And if he was really great, he could play anywhere. But he's going to play it safe and he's going to go with West Ham because it's a big club. And he knows that if he goes there, like no one will ever know if he's really that good. But she's like, you and I both know that you're not. So he's kind of looking at her. He's still peeing the whole time.
Yeah, he called her over. She called him overrated and overpaid.
Yes. And the interesting thing here is like, Roy getting that terrible review from Trent Crim, calling him overhyped and, you know, blah, 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 wrecked him. But then we're going to see here that him getting yelled at in a similar way and being called overrated actually motivated him.
Right.
And I think Rebecca also got motivated when Rupert kind of did that last dig to her because it's like, I'm not going to just stop fighting.
Yeah.
So she goes on this whole thing and then she says, and you eat too much fucking asparagus. So I guess this guy is a vegetarian because he's the veggie dog vigilante.
Right.
And he eats a lot of asparagus.
Right.
Rebecca gets back to her seat and Keeley says, how did it go? Did you sweet talk him? She says, what's the opposite of that? And Keely very earnestly figures it out and says, sour yell.
I know, which is funny. Yeah, I did that.
Yeah, I did that. So Richmond ends up tying the game. It ends in a draw. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, draw.
So they'll get a point, and Chelsea will also get a point, and they're still doing okay at this point. So Zava is now going to do the press conference where he is going to announce that he's going to Chelsea. And they're walking out, and Rebecca can see it on the television, and she's like, I cannot watch this.
Right.
So she kind of keeps heading out, and Zava sits down and says, I've decided that I'm not going to Chelsea. So she's expecting he's going to say West Ham. And he says, I'm going to go play for Richmond. So she pops back around in the corner like a surprised kitten.
Right. Yeah, that's great.
And Rupert calls him a twat and throws his phone in the limo, which was great. Impotence starting now. And so then, and the other Chelsea guy is just like, what the hell just happened? Because he ends up taking his pen, but not signing with his team, and then he leaves. Everyone, including Rebecca, finds out that they're getting Zava at the exact same time.
Yeah, which is pretty unrealistic, but
of course.
I mean, like, there was no terms discussed.
Right.
Contract. No. He has no idea what he's going to make.
Yeah, just.
I'm going to them.
He's probably, he knows that he can tell them whatever he's going to
make. Exactly. Yeah. That's true. That's a good point.
But yes, high drama. So they are back, and the team is mostly excited, but Jamie's like, the fans aren't going to like this, but the fans are going to like it because they're at that Crown and Anchor just.
They're going crazy,
nuts.
And they already have a Zava chant.
Yeah. So Beard walks back and they're getting ready to leave for the night. And Ted's asking him, like, what are you doing? You want to walk home together? And he's like, no, I can't. I'm going to Jane's friend's play, an immersive experience about the menstrual cycle. And then Ted says, I hope you're not late.
I know, my God. Wah. It took me two times to get that one, too. And I felt stupid.
And he says, tell Jane I said hi. And then Beard says, I would, but she's still threatened by our relationship. Because do you remember in one of the episodes, Keely walks in on Rebecca and Higgins talking about Jane.
Right.
And she says that one time Jane followed her home to ask her if Beard was shagging Ted.
Oh, my God.
Oh, goodness. Please, Jane, just release Beard.
Yeah, really.
So Trent comes in and he's saying, you know, goodnight to him. They're saying goodnight to Roy. But before he leaves, he's like, hey, Roy, I'm curious. What was it like being back at Chelsea? And Brett Goldstein is so good. Like,
I know he is. He is.
I mean, first of all, the man has won 2 Emmys in a row, right? Yes.
Yeah.
And he was an actor before this, but like, not a large enough actor that he wouldn't go out for a writing job because right. That's how he got hired on this show. And then he's just so good. Like, this part really breaks your heart. So he says that it was sad. And he says the reason why is because the last time he was there, oh, so I guess it was the last time, they played, or the last time he played with Chelsea, they played somebody, and he said it was the first game where he really knew, like, he couldn't keep up anymore. He was
right.
Starting to feel his age.
He sucked.
Yeah. So he decided that he was going to get out before they fired him. And he didn't want to be a broken down footballer. So I just loved that he took his broken down footballer body to Richmond and was like, yeah, this will be fine.
Yeah. Well, he probably left, retired, and then wanted to get back into it again, which is what a lot of retired players do.
Oh, yeah. Do you think he did a Tom Brady or?
Well, I don't know about that. I think he probably just left the team.
Yeah. And he said everybody was really surprised because he was kind of going out on a high note, but that's how he wanted it to be. But now, thinking back, he kind of wishes that he just would have stayed and enjoyed himself and not been so wrapped up in being worried about what was going to come and worried about what people were going to think about him. So it's interesting because this kind of also gives you the idea of why Roy broke up with Keely. Like, sometimes people will break up with someone because...
to not be broken up with.
Yeah, because he figured eventually she's going to leave me and that's going to hurt worse. So I'm just going to beat her to it and then just have a clean break now. But when he says, you know, I wish I could have stayed and enjoyed it, he says, I guess that's not the person that I am. And right. Ted says, not yet.
Right.
Which is really cute.
Which then probably gets Roy thinking more about his relationship with Keeley.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is I feel like Roy's helping Ted out here because Ted even says sometimes it's easier to quit than be fired.
Yeah, right.
And I know Ted says he doesn't quit things, but he did try to quit in the first season at the end when he thought he was going to be fired.
Yeah.
And then this first episode, he really was like, why am I here? Like, he probably was contemplating quitting and just going home because he missed his kid and, you know, he didn't really feel as comfortable here. But Roy's saying, you know, sometimes I wish I would have just stayed and enjoy it. So I feel like this is kind of going to be a turning point for Ted where if he's going to be there, he might as well try to win this and enjoy the time that he has with Richmond. Before Roy leaves for the night, Ted reminds him that if he hadn't come to Richmond, they would have never met. And then he puts his head on his hands and does little...
I know, the eyes.
Batting his eyelashes.
I know. That was funny.
All right, so that is the end of episode 2. Now, we're going to get into what we learned.
Mm.
What did we learn about Ted?
That was a tough one for me.
I don't think we learned much about Ted in this episode.
Yeah.
We learned that he likes Hallmark movies.
Yeah, we learned that he's good with conflict resolution because that thing with Roy and Trent Crim after all these years. And so he finally tells him, listen, you need to, what do you say? Order off the vegan menu and squash it. So that was, you know. But I mean, this overall, I don't think I learned a ton.
Yeah, we learned that he doesn't know who Zava is, but he does like viral videos.
Right.
And he's Roy and Keeley's biggest fan because he was very upset when he heard that they were broken up. Oh, and I forgot to mention earlier that Ted also sends Keeley a text once he finds out about it. And he says, you know, I heard the news. You let me know when. You'd let me know where because I know the why.
Yeah.
Meaning anytime you're ready to talk, I'm ready to listen. And I really hope that we get to see that scene.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because we hear a lot about people not wanting Ted and Rebecca together because we don't have enough male and female friendships on TV. But Keeley and Ted are a great example of a male and female friendship. Mm-hmm. And so is Roy and Rebecca. And Rebecca and Higgins when she's not yelling at him.
Exactly.
All right, what did we learn about Rebecca? This one we learned a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. We learned that she took charge when she needed to and just said her feelings regardless of the outcome, even though the outcome was good. This is the old Zava thing.
Right, right.
Just went in there and went with her gut instinct and it ended up being a good thing, even though she figured it was going to, the sour yelling was going to make him look the other way. But in turn, made him realize it would be a good challenge for him.
Yeah. And, well, obviously we learned how she met Rupert, how he kind of courted her. But I also was surprised to find out that she was a bartender.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's another thing that, you look at that angle of it, is Rupert kind of made her who she is in a way. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, he looked for someone who didn't have... I mean, she comes from a wealthy family.
Right.
So she was... I don't know why
she was...
She was
probably... bartending a private club or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So it was an expensive event.
But it kind of...
I don't want to say Rupert made her what she is, but he was integral in her taking the team.
Well, yes, by, completely ruining her and making her so angry. But, I don't know why I always thought that Rebecca maybe had, a job in some kind of field before this that would be complementary to running a football club.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that it's kind of showing that she and Keeley aren't that different.
Right.
Because... I don't know if she went to college or university or whatever, but she was bartending. She probably was also, there weren't influencers at that point, but she was someone who got by on how she looked.
Right.
Because to be a bartender at a private club, you have to be very good looking.
Yes.
So, and also kind of shows, you know, she didn't have any experience going into this. Keely didn't have any experience. I mean, she had some experience, but maybe not the education and stuff that you would look for in a marketing person. She's more of an influencer. And Shandy is the same. So I like how it's kind of like they're similar and they're all helping each other, you know, instead of not giving them a chance.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What else did we learn about her? Like, she was the other woman at one point.
Yeah, he was married.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, I mean, I'm not going to judge her on that at all, but you just kind of think, you know, if he can do that with you, then what makes you think he's not going to do it with other people?
Yeah, always.
And what did Rebecca learn? Zappa eats too much asparagus.
Yeah, which he did learn. We did learn that.
I like that she just completely goes up to him in a year. And like her face is even over it too. I know. Like if there was any splashing going on, it's just so disgusting.
Yeah, well.
But she didn't care.
Men's bathroom.
Luckily, that man was just standing there and they put the pee sounds in afterwards. But
sure.
I'm sure there was still a lot of laughing. Maybe Rebecca also learned that kindness isn't always the way to go.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like I said earlier, like she just went for it and then they landed him. And that was, you know, sometimes that works.
But I think Ted has also exhibited that when he pulls his lead tasso.
Yeah.
And what did Ted learn? I think Ted learned here from Roy that maybe he should make the most out of the time that he has left with Richmond.
Yeah, that's true. That is a good point. He, I think he took that to heart.
And I don't know that Ted actually finds out why Roy. No, he doesn't. He doesn't find out why Roy was so upset with him. He's about to learn that Rebecca's a badass when she tells him how she got Zappa.
Yeah, that's true.
Which we're probably not going to get to see that.
No, we're not.
I would enjoy that. But yeah, okay. And then the last one, are they any more aware of each other? No.
No, that doesn't bode well for us.
No. I mean, they didn't really spend any time. They weren't alone at any point.
This was not a good episode for us. Right.
As far as
it was a good
this,
episode, but not our content of our podcast.
But we can see the influence of each other on one another, which is cute. So, yeah, maybe next week.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for that moment where one of them realizes, oh, and it's probably going to be mostly Rebecca at first. But
you think? All right.
I don't know. I feel like Ted would need a gentle nudge and Rebecca might need a bit of someone knocking her over the head.
Yeah, maybe.
But we'll see. Okay. Yeah. So that's it. We're going to do this again when the next episode comes out, which is next week.
You promise?
I hope so. And if you want to yell at me on Twitter about anything, you can do that at Ted Becca Podcast. Oh, and I forgot this part last time. If you're enjoying this at all, even a little bit, just give us a rating and a review on iTunes or Spotify, if you wouldn't mind, because that's helpful. And that's it. All right. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.